Open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. And we'll be starting at verse number 5. Genesis chapter 25 and beginning at verse number 5. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while yet he lived eastward unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 115 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre. The field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried with Sarah, his wife. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well, Lehiroi, or whatever that place was. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, dear Lord, we're just thankful for the day that you gave us once again. And dear Lord, we just pray now that you would speak to our hearts and cause us, dear Lord, to understand the importance of a life well served. Serving you, and dear Father, the things that needs to be done when it appears as though we're getting near the end of the way, and as well, dear Lord, that we can also be aware of thy faithfulness to your promises. And dear Lord, what you do for us now, we'll thank you and praise you for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject that I'd like to draw our thoughts to this afternoon is the death of a friend. The death of a friend. Found it interesting at the funeral yesterday, the fellow that was holding the services took this passage of scripture. I can assure you I had this message already prepared. And he touched on some things that were very true. And not saying that he touched on things that were not true, but he touched on things that were true. And some of this you may hear again, but I want us to see the way that God, the things that God has done for us, and the things that he will have us to do if we'll just listen to him and the wisdom behind it. We know, we're all very well aware of the fact that we're not going to live forever in these bodies. These bodies, if you will, we were born to die. I could take it as far as to say the process of our deaths began the moment we were conceived. There would come that time when we would leave this world. Isn't that a comforting thought? Nobody's getting depressed on me yet, are you? Thinking like, yeah, we're all going to die. But it's a fact. The Bible makes it clear that there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. The Bible also tells that in our age, in our time, that 70 is the best you can hope for. And if you have a go above that, that's just a blessing from God. That's the, you're being blessed if you go above 70. But the reality is, unless the Lord returns, we're all going to die. Doesn't matter how well a person is known. It doesn't matter if nobody's ever heard of them. It doesn't matter if a person has accomplished much in their lives or if they've wasted the time that God has given them. It doesn't matter if they're exceedingly wealthy, nor does it matter if they are exceedingly poor. We all go the same way. We all go through death. We leave this, all of us leave this world with exactly what we brought into this world. Absolutely nothing. The only difference that may be would be in the type of box they put these bodies in. Some may have a lot more extravagant than others, which to me never did make a great deal of sense. But it's something that is given to us. The Bible tells us that all of us have an appointment with death, as it says, and as it once appointed unto man to die, and after that's the judgment. So it's something that's coming. The Bible tells us that the thing that matters is how we live the lives that God has given us. Do we serve Him, or do we fritter the time away? Do we live a life that when we come to the end of it, we say honestly that we really don't have any regrets? Or do we lie there on our deathbed wishing, oh, how I wish I could go back and redo this and so many things? How is it? How is it with us? The text that we're looking at today, we're going to see this very fact played out before us. These verses that we read reveal the end of a very long and prosperous life. A life that had been lived for the Lord from the time that the Lord called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Now, going forward past the time that he was taken from Ur, we know that there have been very significant moments in his life from the time of his encounter with the Lord in the deliverance of Isaac on Mount Moriah. Most believe that at this particular time when Isaac was offered, or would have been offered, he would have been in the mid to late teenagers. He would have certainly been strong enough that had he chose to, he could have overpowered his dad and not ever been put on that altar. But he willingly did it. Was willing to lay down his life at the command of his father. And boy, is that not a picture of what Jesus did for us in every respect of the way. Following the thing that had taken place on Mount Moriah, we find that Sarah died after that being 127 years old. Being 90, when Isaac was born, she would have lived somewhere around 10 years, a little more, following this great test of faith. It was very late in Sarah's life. You want to talk about faith, and faith put to the test. Oh, it'd take a lot of faith to have God tell you to throw a staff down on the ground and become a snake, and then God tell you to take it up by the tail again. That would take some faith. It would take faith pour water out and see it become blood, to actually do that. But what about the offering of your child? What about taking your child's life? Now, we hear on the news about people that do that quite often, and what a tragedy it is. But I'm talking about real parents, parents who love their children. How about then? What would it be like if you were asked by God to do that very thing? And yet that's what Abraham was, because Abraham knew that Isaac was the child of promise, and that if he was slain, that God would raise him up. You can say about that what you want to, but Abraham knew what God had told him. And the Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for what? Righteousness, because he trusted the Lord. Abraham bought a piece of land in Hebron and buried Sarah there in this particular cave in Machpelah. Following her death, Abraham sent his servant back to Mesopotamia to find a wife, not for himself, but for Isaac, from among his own people. Remember, Abraham made it very, very clear that he did not want a wife taken from the people of the land. It had to be from his own people. And the servant asked him, now, why does she don't want to come? Was he supposed to do it like you see in those old caveman pictures where he dragged her by the hair back with him? And was he to bind her up foot and hand and throw her across the camel and drag her back? Was he to drag her back in kind of like a handcuff thing? How was he to do it if she didn't want to go? And Abraham told him, you'll know. She'll be ready and she'll be willing and she'll let you know. And that's exactly exactly what had happened. Rebekah was a comfort to Isaac as he dwelt with the loss of his mother. Rebekah was a wonderful wife to Isaac. You got to remember that at this time, it seems a bit odd how it took place, but arranged marriages was just the way it was done most of the time. And there were a lot of reasons for an arranged marriage, but that essentially is what that was. And yet, Isaac loved Rebekah, and Rebekah loved Isaac. It wasn't anything that was not as it should be in their home. Our text this afternoon takes place some 35 years, read it backwards, after the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. Abraham had lived nearly 40 years after the passing of his wife Sarah. And it is for certain, without question, that the life of Abraham had been very, very, very eventful. There had been ups and there had been downs all the way through. And yet through it all, his faith remained strong. And guess what? That can be said of us all. Though, does not our journey have many ups and downs? Are there not times that our faith is tested? Are there not times that our dependence for the Lord or on the Lord is on full display or lack thereof? This is everything that Abraham was able to overcome, so too can we. We think about, and Abraham is in the Hall of Fame of Faith, if you will. But beloved, he was not a superhuman. He was flesh and bone, just as you and I. He had problems, just as you and I. And he overcame, just as we can, if we'll put our faith and trust in God. Now again, I'm not talking about faith to believe. I'm talking about faith to serve. Faith that we have to show forth each and every day as we serve the Lord. Whenever we think about the life of Abraham, it stands as a challenge to us as well as an encouragement to us for the things of what God has done. We know that God provides for all those who belong to Him. He has promised never to leave us. He's promised never to forsake us as we go throughout our journey of life. Surely, without question, He is worthy of all of our devotion and all the service to Him that we can give. Not because we have to. Not because we feel that, we don't, people will say things about us. But rather because we want to, and because we want to serve our Lord, and we love our service for the Lord. We need to keep in mind that whenever we hear the name of Abraham mentioned, that he was considered to be the friend of God. That's quite a statement. And you think about Moses, where it says that there never was a prophet like unto Moses who knew the Lord how? Face to face. We talk about prayer this morning. You talk about somebody who talked to the Lord as you and I talk. Moses literally did. You find about David, King David, man after God's own heart. You hear Abraham is a friend of God. There are statements that are made about certain people that are really rather outstanding, and we need to pay attention to them. James in chapter 2 and verse 23 deals with this. It says, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." So, with this in mind, for the remaining time, let's take a good look into this passage and deal with the subject, the death of a friend. The first thing we see is the division of the inheritance. Here we find how Abraham divided the inheritance that he had, the possessions that he had, which were quite significant at this point in time. He divided among his sons. If had we taken the time to have looked at all the verses in this chapter, we would have found that Abraham had remarried sometime after the death of Sarah, and he had six more sons. Including Ishmael and Isaac, Abraham had eight sons born to him. He was the father of. Now, as we look at the division, there, said that Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Now, this might seem unusual to us in this day. It may even seem unfair in our culture. But this was common in Abraham's day. That's just how things were done. The firstborn son was always recognized as the heir of the family. He would assume the role of the patriarch of the family following the passing of his father. So therefore, he got the lion's share, by far the lion's share of the inheritance. It shows us that Abraham had indeed named Isaac the heir of the family, and he would be recognized as the prominent son within the family. Now, who was older, Isaac or Ishmael? Ishmael. Sarah and Isaac, or Abraham rather, to a point, but they got hurried. They said, "Your time's running out, and you don't have an heir. We're going to have to do something about that. So you can take my handmaid Hagar, and she'll bear me a son." Abraham, if this sounds crude, I apologize. Abraham said, "Okay," and Ishmael was born. Ishmael was not the child of promise. Ishmael was not the promised child. So none of the promises that had been made about the promised child could apply to Ishmael. The Muslims today try to claim that they did, but they don't. They went to Isaac, who was the child of promise. As such, he received the greatest portion, having control over the family unit. Isaac was the one that God had ordained to be born to Abraham. God had chosen him. Remember, we said this morning that sometimes God, the things that he does is not always according to our timetable. This is a prime example of that. Ishmael, God had promised that he would make a great nation out of him. And he did. And Israel's in the world is dealing with that bunch to this very day. But Isaac was the one through which the nation of Israel would eventually come. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three great patriarchs of Israel. God had a plan for people that he would call unto himself. It was through this lineage that Jesus would be born, that Jesus would come. We see the dispersion. While the other sons did not receive the portion that Isaac had received, the Bible says, points out that Abraham had provided for them prior to his death. They received a gift. They got something that Abraham had given them, and I believe it was a worthy portion. Abraham has shown himself to be that kind of a person. He was a wealthy man, having many herds and many possessions, which he was able to divide amongst them. Through Abraham's dealings with his sons, what a wonderful and glorious picture we see of our future. We are heirs of God through our relationship with Jesus. We have a promised inheritance through our relationship through Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that we have. While we share in the glories of heaven with the Lord, he alone stands as the rightful heir. The only begotten Son, right? He is the only rightful heir that's there. We will not share in his power, his position, or his glory. That all belongs to him alone, being God. God in the flesh. We have been adopted into the family of God through His shed blood on the cross. But He is the heir of God. He is the one who is worthy of what had taken place. We notice also the discernment. This may again seem harsh, but Abraham was acting according to the will of God. He sent him all away. And he sent him to the east country while he was still alive. Why did he do that? Well, for one thing, if Isaac would have tried to do that, there probably would have been problems. And they may would have stood up and rebelled against him. But Abraham still had the authority of their father. And he sent them away. He did not want anybody at all, causing unnecessary strife for Isaac, who was the promised son and rightful heir to the family. Had these sons all stayed in Canaan, there would likely have been jealousy and contention. We're just as good as you. We're a son just the same as you are. What makes you so special? So in order to eliminate that, he sent them away. That would be a good example of Barney Fife theology. Bud nipping. Nip it in the bud. And that's what Abraham did. This is a very hard lesson that remains needful in our day as well, especially as believers. We must at all times guard our walk and witness with the Lord. Now, the sad thing is, and the hard thing is, that there are times when we may need to distance ourselves from the influence of others. Do you have to high hat and ignore people that have been your friends all your life? No. But if those friends that you've had all your life are continually trying to lead you down a path that is wrong, that is sinful, you just simply got to distance yourself from them. Because you put your flesh in that situation, your flesh is going to win. You may hold up a time or two, but nobody's that strong. You may have to put some distance between yourself and their influence. Doesn't mean that you don't love them anymore. Doesn't mean that you don't care about them anymore. But what it does mean is that we value our relationship with the Lord above everybody else. Let me make this a little closer to home. What if your spouse, let's assume for a moment that everybody here is married to a lost person. Just take a discussion. And that person tells you that, I don't want you going to church today. I want us to go do this, that, and the other. And if you decide to go to church, you know there's going to be a fuss. What do you do? Do you keep harmony at home? Or do you go to church? Which relationship do you value the most? That's the kind of thing that we're talking about here. And there comes times that there are some hard decisions that you have to make. But sometimes they just simply must be made. And our service for the Lord must be above everything else. Secondly, the departure of the patriarch. We saw this in verse 7 and 8. Notice the duration of life. You know, it's quite amazing that when you think about his life, the amount of time that God gave him. We know that for perhaps any one of a number of reasons, people lived longer then than they do today. But this is still miraculous. Abraham was 75 when God called him from his home to follow him to Canaan. And sometimes we think about, well, Abraham was just a young man when that happened. No, by our standards, he was an old man then, right? He was 75 when God called him. What does that tell us? It tells us, you know, you're never too old to serve the Lord, right? Well, you just said people lived longer. I know that. But you're still never too old to serve the Lord, no matter how old you are. He waited 25 more years for Isaac to be born. But through it all, God was faithful. 25 more years. So if he was 75 and then now 25, how old does that make him? That makes him 100. 100 years old when he had child of promise coming around. I got to tell you, I couldn't, I don't think I could stand the thoughts of being a dad again now, and I'm just be 59 next month, let alone 100. So I was coming up here after church. I saw, you know, Lane was carrying that precious, beautiful little baby down to the fellowship hall, and as she went by, I just said, don't get used to it. He knew, don't get used to it. So he was 100 when God provided the promised son. Let's go look at it this way. He was blessed with another 75 years with his son. 175 years old now. You know, you've done gotten into areas where we can't comprehend. And in fact, it's even more amazing if you look at how the scripture talks about them most of the time. They were a lot better physical condition when they left this world than we are now. Now, we do know that Isaac was blind when he left because of his age, right? Isaac had some health issues that come along with age, but man, a lot of them were strong. Who was it, Moses? It said that his eyes had not dimmed and his strength had not left him. And he was as strong when he died as he was when he was in his 20s. That's quite a fella, quite a specimen. In all, Abraham had walked with God for 100 years, give or take. In that span, there had been times of joy as well as times of despair. There had been times when Abraham not only had missed the mark, but he'd missed it badly. But he never abandoned his faith. Beloved, let's get honest. We don't hit the bullseye all the time, do we? Sometimes we get close. And I'm convinced sometimes we don't even touch the target. And God still loves us. And God will forgive us. I know you say, I say that every sermon, I think, or close to it, but it's true. And we need to realize it. God will forgive us. None of us are perfect. We have our shortcomings. Don't give up. Don't stop trying. And ask for God's help. You can't look at the life of Abraham and just assume that faithfulness will always lead to a long life. It may, but then again, it may not. I know of individuals that they served God with every fiber of their being, and the Lord took them home, what we would say, relatively early in life. But my, what a testimony they left behind. And I've known people that have served the Lord for many, many, many years. Sadly, I did not know her nearly as long as I would have liked to have. But what a testimony Sister Rookstool left here. And her faith in God at the end of her life was incredible. You know, she was an amazing lady. God had blessed her with a long life. And what a testimony her life was to those who followed behind her. Our focus here in this life should not be necessarily on how long it is or how long it wasn't. Our focus should be on making the most of the time that God has given us. Whether we live to be 100 or we die at a young age, our lives should be marked by faithfulness to God. That's the only thing that really matters. May it be said of us all that we serve the Lord faithfully throughout our lives. And when we say throughout our lives, certainly we're talking about from the time that God saved us. We couldn't serve him when we were lost because we were at enmity with him. But since we were saved. Man, you ought to hear. You ought to hear all the tales that I'm going to tell about Sister Dolores one of these days. Even if I have to make up some. Notice the transition from life. Although Abraham had served the Lord for 100 years, there came a time for him to die. From all indications, it appears that Abraham died peacefully. What a blessing it is to those who just simply go to sleep and wake up in glory. You have no struggle, no pain, so to speak, no problems. You think about people who the Lord takes out of this life in the midst of a horrible disaster of some type. Well, I tell you what, it'd be better to die fast like that than have to lie and suffer for a long period of time, or to spend the last few. I think it runs in my mind so much how horrible it'd be to spend the last years of your life in a bed somewhere, not even knowing you're in the world, not knowing nobody, not knowing anything. That's not living, folks. That's merely existing and no more. But Abraham, apparently, from what we find in Scripture, he died peacefully. He lived a long and prosperous life walking with God. And again, he was recognized as his friend. And even in death, you find where God was faithful to him. We find that he was gathered to his people. His people. Those that were faithful. Those that God, that were redeemed. It doesn't, we know that he had secured a burial place for Sarah, but she was the only one there. Her bones were the only ones that were there at that particular time. It doesn't seem logical that to assume that he's speaking merely of his place of burial. When he left this world, he entered the Lord's paradise, the Lord's presence. What a blessing. And that's the same promise we have, don't we? That we go into the Lord's presence when we die. We don't refer to it, it's not necessarily paradise, but it's heaven. And wherever the Lord's at, I don't care, right? As long as we're with him, it doesn't matter to me. He had the assurance that he was going to be with the Lord, and as believers we have the same thing. And we know that Jesus tasted death on the cross, bearing our sins and enduring the wrath of God so that we could escape that penalty. The Scripture tells us to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. Notice also the dedication of the patriarch. Although Ishmael had been sent from Abraham years earlier, he returned to help Isaac bury their father in the cave at Machpelah. That says a lot about Ishmael. It really does. No doubt, he clearly loved his dad. That I think is evident by his being there. You know, sometimes when a person passes and there's close kin that don't come, sometimes it's because of circumstances, they just simply cannot get there. But there are some times when they're not there just simply because they don't want to be. And that's sad when it's family. It truly is. Whatever differences that there may have been between Isaac and Ishmael, they had laid them aside for the purpose of honoring their father. And sometimes that's what people need to do today. You lay your differences aside for just a little while and pay respect to your loved one, whomever it might be. It'd be best if you left those differences down, but if you have to pick them up, wait till everything's over and take them back with you if you have to. Best to just leave them alone. This is a challenge for us. Sometimes we have to do the right thing. Sometimes we have to be a faithful witness for the Lord in a difficult place. This may require us to swallow our pride. Sometimes it might even require that we extend forgiveness to somebody, but it's the right thing. The completion. Life had come full circle for Abraham. He and Sarah had been faithful to God and to each other. There had surely been difficult times, but their love for each other never wavered. And is that not the way it should be in a true home today? The love for the husband and the wife, regardless of what happens, is something that should never waver, but should always remain solid and should always remain there. She had been at his side when they began their journey with the Lord. She had been a faithful companion and the mother of their promised son. Now, Abraham was returned to her body in death. His body was buried alongside her in the burial place in Hebron. Sarah was no longer there any more than Abraham was there, but their bodies were they were placed side by side in death. They were also reunited together in the Lord's presence as well. You know, they were there for the purpose of serving God and worshiping God, but at least they were able to do it together. You know, with their primary purpose, their service to the Lord. How thankful that death is not the final end. I'm glad that for a believer, death is really the beginning. It's not the ending that is coming our way. We're heading that way. Death is certain for all of us unless the Lord returns. And as difficult as death is, we also know that when it comes, we're going to be in the Lord's presence. We're going to be with Him throughout eternity. And there's no greater testimony that can be left behind than that of a faithful individual, a faithful couple, who were committed to God, committed to each other, and served the Lord throughout their lives. Finally, Abraham left a legacy following his death. He had been faithful to follow the Lord, and God honored his faithfulness. Abraham had instilled love for God into Isaac. God had blessed Isaac in part because of the faithfulness of Abraham. Remember when Solomon was lured away after these idol gods, and how that God told him that Israel, judgment was going to come upon him, but it wouldn't come upon them during his lifetime because of David's sake. God had blessed Abraham in part because of the faithfulness, or Isaac rather, in part because of the faithfulness of Abraham. Even after his death, Abraham continued to impact his family. You know, that's the type of legacy each one of us should strive to leave. That's the type of legacy that each one of us should strive for others to see, and as they will think about as they think of us. Money and possessions will soon be spent and soon be gone. A lot of times people sit around like vultures waiting for somebody to die, ready to pounce. And what good does that do them? In short order, it's all gone. So it's not something we should focus on. We can leave a heritage of faithfulness and service to God, which is where our focus should be. We can live our lives in such a way that it continues to influence others long after we are gone. All of our lives today have been impacted and shaped by others. Living a life of commitment and honor and service and faithfulness to God will encourage others to serve the Lord as well. So may God help us to understand the importance of what we're doing and the importance of our lives. And may we, as Abraham was and did, leave a legacy of service for Him, trusting God. May our lives, as we look at the ups and the downs and the turmoils, may our lives be one that will be a standout as a testimony for our Lord. May God help us to strive for these very things. Let's pray. Dear kind